Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is your professor again. Welcome back to another episode of the Realist Lexicon. Today is the day we dive into some conspiracies and conspiracyisms. Yes, I said conspiracyisms. When you're an intellect of my magnitude, you're allowed to make up words. Mo and Azhar really go in on this one. They even wonder if the recording engineer Kennedy has compromised given his, you know, family ties. Listen along as the guys try to thread the needle between informing the public and ending up on a hit list. As they get further and further into the weeds on some of the stuff, I end up having to come in and give my very sophisticated and extremely educated opinion on the matters to clean things up. I hope you enjoy the ride. This is Conspiracies and Conspiracyisms.
Joking, not joking.
What up, everybody? It's Mo.
It's Mo.
What's up? This is your boy, Azhar Usman.
From Luminary, this is Joking, Not Joking.
Everybody's 5%ing about Operation Northwoods. And I've studied this article. I know I sound like a conspiracy theorist.
You are, man.
I am, actually. I mean, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I believe in conspiracy facts.
There you go.
These are
facts. And that was the last time my global entry was accepted.
U.S. military wanted to provoke war with Cuba. This is really interesting. They fixed this, Mo. They used to have a different date over here, which is post 9/11.
No.
And then when you click it, this is before 9/11.
It was before.
This is creepy, dude.
No, I remember this. It was before. Right? It was May 2001. It was four months before 9/11. Which makes it creepy.
In the early 1960s, America's top military leaders reportedly drafted plans to kill innocent people and commit acts of terrorism in U.S. cities to create public support for a war against Cuba.
Codename Operation Northwoods. I feel like Jason Bourne's about to show up.
This shit always creeps me out, man.
I don't really feel comfortable this close to a Kennedy, to be honest with you. No disrespect.
Who sent you here? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying, like, it's just a little rough.
I don't know. I mean, because how do you feel about conspiracy theories?
I really want to know his background. It's very fascinating. I'm fascinated with the Kennedys.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that you're a Kennedy and you're, like, just sitting here.
It's like a turning point in American history.
Modern history, arguably.
Modern history, exactly.
Right? Because the ripple effects are global.
Huge. Look, you always suspected they weren't in control, right? The president. And when he gets whacked, you expect it to happen like, yeah, of course. Oh, this is the best bit ever. Please play it. Please play it. People should know.
People should know about this. We got to
Bill Hicks.
It's on blast.
I had this feeling, who's ever elected president, you go into this smoky room with the scum fucks who got you in there, and it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination you've never seen before. Any questions?
Oh, my God.
This guy was so ahead of his time. It's insane. Oh, man. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He's one of the greatest.
Bill Hicks.
He's one of the greatest.
Guy is so amazing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Bro, his material about Iraq just, like, made it. It's even better now. his commentary about Saddam, and this before he died, before they took him out. He really was just like, saw it so clearly. We talked about, we sell you our old shit and just bomb the shit out of you with our new shit. That's all. It was so brilliant. That's exactly what they did. Crazy. Yeah, that was like at least probably early 90s when that came out. It was right after the first Gulf War. He was commenting about my life.
That's wild.
Wild.
About the 9/11 Commission report.
9/11's commission hearing transcript said, beginning with passports, four of the hijackers' passports have survived in whole or in part. So the buildings melted, basically. The steel melted, buildings collapsed, including Building 7 down the street. But passports, which were made of magical substance called bullshit, two were recovered from the crash site of United Airlines Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. These are the passports of Ziad Jarrah and Saeed Al-Ghamdi. One belonged to a hijacker on American Airlines Flight 11. This is the passport of, man, it looks like Satan, astaghfirullah, Saddam Al-Suqami. A passerby picked it up. Oh my God, a passerby picked it up. And then the baby. This guy was passing by, and then the most significant tragic event of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century,
a passerby gave it to a NYPD detective shortly before the World Trade Center towers collapsed. What are you talking about?
So the
a fourth passport was recovered from luggage that did not make it from a Portland flight to Boston onto the connecting flight, which was an American Airlines Flight 11. This is the passport of Abdul Aziz Al-Omari. What are you talking
about? In addition to these four, some digital copies of the hijackers' passports were recovered in post-9/11 operations. Two of the passports that have survived, those of Saddam al-Suqami and Abdul Aziz al-Omari, were clearly doctored. To avoid getting into classified detail, we will just state that these were manipulated in a fraudulent manner in ways that have been associated with Al-Qaeda. Associated with the Al-Qaeda by us, by saying that they are indeed associated with them, because we made that shit in the first place.
Bro, that...
the fuck are you talking about, dog?
That sentence is unbelievable. Beginning with the passports, four of the hijackers' passports have survived in whole or in part. Two were recovered from the crash site of the United Airlines Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. These are the passports of Ziad Jarrah and Saeed Al-Ghamdi. One belonged to a hijacker on American Airlines Flight 11. This is the passport of Saddam al-Suqami. A passerby, somebody walking.
Rando, rando.
Who walks a towards jogger. The explosion?
A jogger, one. A random jogger. Yeah. Just saw the planes crash. Let's go for a jog.
Great time to go for the jog. He caught it in midair. Like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
He was juggling. What if it could belong to somebody who was running away from the explosion that fell out of their pocket? What do you, like, it just magically flew out? How is this possible?
No, not only did the jogger just catch it when he was walking, and then he also found a NYPD detective nearby. It was like,
hey, hold on a minute. This might be evidence from the crash.
Yes. A passerby picked it up and gave it to him. This has turned into an episode of Law & Order.
Bro, this is like a bad writer's room came up with this.
Yes, exactly.
It's like terrible, like, you know, you write, right, guys. You write WB sitcoms, and this is like what you came up with. Like, I got an idea. Here's a pitch. Exactly. Right? Here's a pitch. Right, we got to get the fourth passport. Right, what if there's just a jogger going by?
Yes,
he just sees. He's like, oh, is this a passport? Wait a second, this might have some.
Officer!
He turns out to be a detective, not a cop, a detective.
He's like, not an officer, I'm actually a detective. You know how hard I worked to earn this position? I've been with the NYPD Detective Squad for the last 25 years. I'm almost retired. What is this? Is this a passport?
I don't know, I was just jogging, and I found this. It looks like it's a partial passport.
Oh, this is
some
a passport,
kind of scary Arab on there.
Oh, this must be one of the hijackers in that building right there.
You already know it was a hijacking?
Yeah, it was crazy. Of course it's a hijacker. I'm a fucking detective. I put it all together in a matter of seconds, Shay. If you knew better, like I knew better, because I've been doing this for 25 years, man. I've seen this kind of thing before.
You've seen planes fly into buildings?
Yeah, and 99.9% of the time, whenever a passport is found anywhere in the vicinity, it's obviously immediately the hijacker. Especially if his name is Saddam al-Sukami.
Did you say Satan?
No, I said Saddam.
Saddam?
No, no, not Saddam. Saddam al-Sukami. And Saeed al-Ghamdi. Let me tell you, yeah, that's definitely a name of a terrorist.
Holy
Ziad
shit,
Jarrah, well, he's obviously one of the fucking guys who flew this plane right into the World Trade Center. By the way, we should probably start walking away because I think the building is about to collapse on us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Bro, this is unbelievable.
It's the most insane thing I've ever read in my life.
No, the next sentence.
Bro.
In addition to these four, some digital copies of the hijackers' passports were recovered in post-9/11 operations.
This is what happened. They'd be like, hey, guys, we miscounted how many passports we needed.
Oh, shit. What are we doing now?
We only have six. We need two more.
Just say we found them in the luggage. We said we found one.
We found one
in the luggage.
Luggage survived.
No, it was luggage that did not make it from a Portland flight.
Oh, it didn't. It didn't even make it.
It didn't make it. It was conveniently left
behind.
They
were light. They were really late to the hijacking. They barely made the hijacking. So their luggage. Why would you check in a bag?
Straight up.
Why would you check in a bag? You're about to die, bro.
You want to leave his passport
just
behind
in
as
case.
Evidence.
What if I change my mind?
You never know.
What if I change my mind mid-flight? I'm not going to do this hijacking now. Talk all the guys into it. We land in Pittsburgh, and I don't have any underwear. That's a fucking situation I don't want to be in.
And I left my passport in the bag.
God forbid. If it does go, it's gone. Who cares? Now they know. People could know I was on here. Mainly my family needs to know. But yeah, he obviously wasn't successful at talking him out of it. It's so fucking absurd. I can't.
I'll try to read the rest now because it's like, this is so unbelievable, actually.
In addition to these four, some digital copies of the a four-year-old can put together digital copies.
Some digital copies, just some.
Just some. We don't even know which ones. Okay, hijackers' passports were recovered in post-9/11 operations. To the passports that have survived, those of Saddam al-Sukami and Abdul Aziz al-Omari were clearly doctored. To avoid getting into classified detail, we will just state that these were manipulated in a fraudulent manner in ways that have been associated with Al-Qaeda. What does that mean?
So vague, bro.
Hold on. They have printers in the caves? They have like...
Probably. I mean, it must be...
They have like a 007 type situation where they...
Elon Musk.
Where they move... like a giant stone. And they're like, Yalla Habibi, Yalla Ta'arun!
Wi-Fi, في Wi-Fi في
الكهف. Yeah, Wi-Fi بالكهف.
Wi-Fi في الكهف, في الكهف.
في الكهف, في عندنا Wi-Fi, yeah, الحمد لله.
الكهف Wi-Fi. شو باسبورت؟ لا, password.
We don't have lights. It's always Isha.
This is wild, bro. Since the passports of 15 of the hijackers did not survive, We cannot make firm factual statements about their documents, unlike the firm factual statements we've made above regarding bullshit passports and joggers and nearby detectives. But from what we know about Al-Qaeda passport practices and other information, we believe it is possible that six more of the hijackers presented passports that had some of these same clues to their association with Al-Qaeda. Other kinds of passport markings can be highly suspicious. To avoid getting into the classified details, we will just call these suspicious indicators. Just stop.
Yeah, just stop. Just please, just stop.
Bro, this is so vague, bro. Anytime they don't have a plausible explanation, they'll say, to avoid getting into classified details about how we're just making this shit up right now.
Two of the hijackers, Khalid Mehdar and Salem Al-Hazmi, presented passports that had such suspicious indicators. We know now that each of these two hijackers possessed at least two passports.
How?
All of their known passports, they can get passports. Okay, fine. All of their known passports
How do they know? Indicators. We know now that each
we
of these...
We have evidence that these other hijackers, Nawaf Al-Hazmi, oh, we got bros in there? Hazmi, Ahmed Al-Gamdi, and Ahmed Al-Hazwani, Al-Haznawi, may have presented passports containing these suspicious indicators. But their passports did not survive the attacks, so we cannot be sure. 15 of the 19 hijackers are Saudi nationals. These were significant security weaknesses in the Saudi government. Issuance of Saudi passports in the period when the visas to the hijackers were issued. Two of the Saudi 9/11 hijackers may have obtained their passports legitimately or legitimately with the help of members of the government. I don't understand. Why do you need like fake passports when you're going to go kill yourself?
Just to get through the security and get through the gate check and get on the plane. You know, you got to get a passport. You have to have a passport.
Yeah, No, I understand. I'm saying why, but do they have records? You mean like they're suspected already as part of?
I don't know, man. The whole thing just sounds so suspicious. You talk about
just ripped this thing apart.
This whole story has suspicious indicators.
So many.
There are a lot of suspicious indicators about the commission report.
The biggest one, the guy finding the passport on the side. Bro, the plane just flew into the building. You ran over to find a passport. It's a contained aircraft. It's not.
How did it just fly away?
That's the one. Just flew out of his pocket. It's a Bollywood movie, bro.
It's ridiculous.
It's literally a Bollywood movie.
Bad writer's room came up with this.
It's about cue the guy shooting at a car and explodes. And then the car just explodes. It just flies over him and the person falls. And he catches them, but the only person that dies, this intended that dies, the girl that was kidnapped falls out, catches her because he's Superman, and he gives her a kiss. This is what we're talking about.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. This is it.
And then Inspector Saxena was nearby.
I do have a theory that the corporations do train the public to certain ideas so they can accept them over time and then introduce the bigger ideas. This is, you know, psychology, you know, foot and door technique, introducing small ideas over a long period of time to accept the bigger idea. I do believe that. Like Minority Report, people were like, he was sliding videos with his fingers, just looking at it, just sliding fingers. People thought that was absolutely insane. Only a few years later, essentially, we have the iPhone where you're swiping pictures and you're doing that. It's definitely achievable.
Tinder.
I'm saying, like, that's there. So,
yeah.
Final report on World Trade Center Building 7.
Oh, my God. Building 7 is its own 10 hours of conversation. I mean, which can be summed up in 5 seconds, which is like, bro, nobody can explain this.
Final report of the National Institute of Standards and Technology investigation of the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7 conducted under the National Construction Safety Team Act. This report described, they just want you to read all this bullshit so you quit. That's all they want. They're like, okay, you know what? It's true.
I mean, it's so frustrating that they're like, all these dozens of pages of this 130-page report to tell you 2 plus 2 equals 4. Like, Bro, the building collapsed, and clearly nobody can rationally explain what the hell happened. Let's leave it at that. None of these reports seem to offer any rational explanation.
Please welcome back to the show, the genius professor.
Well, I can tell you exactly how it happened. The building's never collapsed, which is a very simple thing. It's just the other two buildings that are adjacent to it, the World Trade Center 1, I believe it's called. It's the Twin Towers, as commonly referred to, well, they collapsed. And therefore, the vibrations in the sheer wind that was blowing through the heat got on Building 7, made the structural beams flimsy, and then in quite unbelievable fashion started collapsing on one on top of the other. That's what happened.
So, Professor, how do you respond to people who refuse to accept this explanation?
It's absolutely absurd. They are just, you know, regular people that don't understand fully of how physics and quantum physics actually works and the celestial complexities that are involved in this situation.
So you're an expert in this area?
Absolutely, yes.
I see.
I have 10 PhDs that I earned just by my size of my brain and ability to just process information faster than anybody else on this planet.
10 different PhDs.
I do, and 50 master's degrees. I don't know why you find this funny, sir. You are just a regular person speaking to a genius. Genius. Well, that's it for this episode of Joking Not Joking. Until next time, stay real, dum-dums.
Joking Not Joking is a Luminary original. Original audio production, music, and sound design by Salt. Executive produced by Noah Gersh, Jamie Sheffman, Nick Panama, and Kenzie Wilbur. Head of Creative, Jordan Galvin. Head of Production, Liz LeMay. Head of Post-Production, Robert Adler. Produced by Imran Ali Malik and Aaron Kennedy. Supervising producers, Ali Strobel and Alice Bierne. Post-production supervisor, Ali Honore. Edited by Jeffrey Muchnick and Aaron Kennedy. Sound design and music by Matthew Cilelli. Mixed by Aaron Kennedy. Recorded by Aaron Kennedy, Zach Jurich, and Mario Borgata. Guest booking by Drive Entertainment and Hager Eldos. Additional music courtesy of Extreme Music.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.